Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, baby, make it hot. Ride the cock till you hit the spot. Come on, baby, make it hot.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee yo, yippee yay, bow wow, yippee yo, yippee yo.
Yep, just in time.
Yeah, well, welcome to the last broadcast of the winter of the Naked Summer, and we are appropriately blessed with a cold.
I don't know what kind of vile disease I have, but let me tell you something. Stay the hell away from me.
We have Ico Loco up in Brewster.
Ugh.
Yes.
I never heard of anything starting in the chest and then going up to the head.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that where it is.
Yes, actually. So I will be half out of it tonight.
Well, that's okay, because our guest is going to be taking us to the depths of...
don't make me laugh.
of the exo realm that I'm going to need one of those mining hats to get back, I think. From the looks of it, I tried to read the document that's on his site with that green background that about blinded me. But we'll get there in a couple minutes. We have so much to talk about in the news.
Testicle Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Today being the fifth anniversary of the war.
Yep.
I just figured I wanted to kind of like I needed a song that was going to get like that and like all the governor stuff. You know, where basically if you haven't lived, you don't live in the tri-state area here in the East Coast. The governors have gone out of their minds. We've had an ex-governor, an exile governor, and a new governor all involved in some type of titillating news with women just all over the place.
You know why?
And a couple of dudes, too. Well,
because monogamy doesn't work.
Well, we could debate that after we just get to this whole song. I figured I needed something to just give me a little spiced up for the interview.
Go ahead, spice me.
So,
I could use it.
So, well, you know, we have this, and there's just so much going on. I just figured I'd just... get a little country on us here. Just everybody just got a little ego clapping here. There you go. Come on, it's hump day, everybody.
I blame the day for what we wear. Can't see.
There you go. A little Dwight Yoakam just to get us started here so that we can just skip all the intermediaries, and that's pretty much what you're going to see around the horn, no matter what the situation is. There's a attempt to deflect, deny, distort, delete, and then finally cop to it.
Right.
And that's what we've seen, pretty much, except in the case of President Bush, who is incapable of taking any responsibility for anything.
No. I meant to ask you what David Patterson's domain is.
He would be a philo.
I thought so.
Yes.
He talked a lot about his family during the inauguration, and he was so proud.
Mm. And I don't know if you caught it, but this just in New Rochelle tonight, there was just a bizarre situation around here. There was a rape of a 17-year-old girl that they couldn't solve the crime for weeks, and it turns out to be the husband of a Channel 2 broadcaster.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he's a cop. and just wild stuff that they... apparently got a lot of goods on this cop, and he's a decorated cop. He's a well-respected cop, and he's been in the force for a long time. And,
jeez.
And, wow. I mean, it just gets weirder and weirder.
Unbelievable.
You know, and Cheney, of course, today. Just if you ever wanted to see what... I mean, maybe we have to find this quote while we're interviewing our exo, because they point-blank asked him on the... I don't know what show it was this morning. They point-blank asked him, you know, the country doesn't really support this... you know, worry more, and his comment was, so.
Oh, my goodness.
It was so good. I mean, I'm watching it. It was so, it's like the interviewer who was trying to appeal to whatever humanity is inside that skin around his skeletal frame. And it, so, you know, you can't go listen to the, you know, the polls and stuff.
Wow.
5 years this guy's been just pumping this BS at the world. It's just, I could not even wrap my mind around what allowed that Wernicke's area and the Broca's speech area in his brain to go, you just say this word, so. And that just puts everybody, you know, the people that are recruiting for the army, the people that are dying in Iraq, everybody's expendable because his, you know, it's $4 a gallon of gas. You know.
Oh, brother.
You know, so there we are. So it's at that point where we can just say, you know, we got that going on.
Yep.
Yeah, we're just going to be going back to that song again and again tonight, I think. It's pretty much the excuse. Blame the vein.
Uh-huh.
So, speaking of, let's see, if we were at that point yet. I don't know if our guest is with us. Yes.
Yes.
It appears he is.
He is.
Another one of the early guest arrivals. That's become a trend.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's hop into this interview, and before we, let's just... warn the crowd what we're going to be doing here.
By the way, I got an email from another blog talk host who would like to be on our show, so we got another good one.
What show? What? Who?
She has been, she was really sick with lupus and RA and a whole bunch of other stuff, and she was completely cured.
By what?
I don't know.
Lightning? Something interesting?
I think it was something interesting. Yes.
Okay.
I have her site up here somewhere.
All right. Well, we're going to be submerging the audience here into some pretty techie talk, so
yes.
I figured I'd play the horn earlier. We're diving. Going deep. So joining us now from an undisclosed location is our special guest, John Harms. Is that how you pronounce his name, I guess?
Yes, sir. That's it.
All right.
Hey,
you're here.
John.
All right.
How you doing there?
Well,
I don't know who found who here. Have you found us or we found you? But
you found me,
I found
actually.
Him.
Okay. And just so we get off the top of our, you know, get the interview off on a good foot here. Your background is what exactly?
Well, I studied physics for since 1985, actually.
Okay. And you have a degree in it, or are you a researcher, or what's your background?
I'm an independent researcher.
Okay.
And,
so what got you started on the research? Is it something you did for
I don't
living,
know.
Or?
I just kind of took an interest in it. And
Do you have an engineering background or something? Is that the?
I'm sorry?
Do you have an engineering background? A lot of engineers get into physics.
No, I actually have a business background, believe it or not.
Business, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
So you invested in things?
Don't ask me how that mixes with physics, but I just
decided
to go off in new directions.
Yeah, we do that every once in a while.
Well, in the 80s, I mean, the big thing, it wasn't all quantum back then. It was a little different animal. Everyone was looking for, you know, this was back around the time they were debunking, you know, the what the heck was it called? The fission or the other fuel there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So the physics was, and then, of course, there was a lot of stuff going on with the space program, things like that.
Fission,
so,
fusion.
Yeah, fission and fusion, yeah. Confusion for me, but...
confusion.
Yeah. So so you got interested in you know, some of the alternative energies, I guess. Did you experiment with other stuff?
Well, actually, I was interested in my darkness theory, actually, first.
Okay.
Go to my website.
Mm-hmm. What's the website? Let's go to that now.
It's johnkharms.com.
Okay.
It's johnkharms.com. You can see all my writings that I've put there.
Okay.
And
I've
got over 100 works of that I've compiled there, physics and philosophy both.
There's a lot of, it's funny because physicists have become like the new priests in the last 15, 20 years. Everybody's interested in what they have to say theoretically because they're talking about stuff that no one can see or no one can understand, which is, you know, pretty much that qualifies you as a philosopher. So,
well, there's kind of a mixture of the kind of two disciplines, actually.
Okay.
So.
Would you say that someone that has a background in philosophy would be able to talk about physics?
Or vice versa.
You think they're okay, so they are sort of interchangeable because a lot of the stuff is. I remember reading books like The God Particle and, you know, a lot of the stuff that was going on
those
in Santa Fe.
Those are books that are written about the quantum theory.
Right.
That have to do with philosophy.
Okay, you're the perfect person to ask this. Make some distinctions that the layman can understand between when they hear quantum mechanics, when they hear quantum physics. Is there anything to know between those two terms?
It's synonymous terms.
Okay. Now when they talk about zero-point energy, and they talk about...
Well, that's what I'm going to talk about tonight.
Okay, great. Does that have anything to do with stuff like the quantum foam?
It has everything to do with that.
Okay, so there is a tie in there. All right, so why don't we get some definitions? What is it? What is zero-point energy or free energy? What does that consist of?
Zero-point energy was predicted by the Dutch physicist Hendrik Casimir in 1948. And he predicted that, according to quantum theory, that the vacuum of energy of empty space should be full of energy and not be empty space as we know it. So that's what that became known as zero-point energy.
All right. And how did they measure that?
Yes, it's called the Casimir effect, experiment. And it was demonstrated in 1996 by the French experimentalist Stephen Lemarieux, Lemarieux.
So that's established. Everyone accepts that zero-point energy exists. This guy did the experiments. We know what it is. Now, have we been able to use it for anything?
Within 1% of Casimir's calculations.
Okay. So have we been able to use it for anything? Like pay rent or something?
That's been the big problem. Can you use it for stuff? I met with some physics people in Austin when I was there, which is not that far away from here.
You're out in Texas somewhere?
I'm in Texas.
Oh, okay, so that explains the draw, because we used to a little fast-talking New Yorkers up here.
Well, I lived in Georgia for a long time, too, so...
All right, well, you could combine it some two pretty big draws there.
I lived in California for 18 years, too, so...
Well, that doesn't do much for your...
I got a mixed up accent.
Yeah, you got some traveling on those vocal cords of yours.
I got some traveling on those vocal cords. I don't have a New York accent, that's for sure.
No, if you were trying to order a sandwich in a deli with that accent, the place would close before you got your order out. They wouldn't know what to do with you.
That's
right. So, well, the difficulty in taking this application of a zero-point energy to make something useful out of it is what's the obstacle?
Well, how do you convert the Casimir experiment into a practical application to convert and to make practical energy out of it?
Okay. So well, where would you see it in the wild? Where would you see zero-point energy? I mean, how would they ever, harness it in the first place? Is it just talking about things in outer space?
Well, the Casimir experiment tells you how to extract zero-point energy and how to measure it. And how you do that is you take two metal plates and you put them closely spaced together. And what happens is it doesn't allow energy between the plates.
Okay.
So it proves basically that there's energy in the vacuum because it puts a force on the plates that pushes them together. So then the idea was, we'll just push them together and then pull them apart and then push them together and pull them apart, and that's how we'll extract the energy. Well, that's a pointless endeavor there.
So can you use that we talked about just practical points. You said, just to be able to take it to a form of energy we could use, to power things. Is it something that would be present in the human body? Could you use it for healing purposes? Could you use it for biofeedback? I guess theoretically, it would be everywhere, right?
I think you could use it as a battery. That's what I'm using it for.
Okay, and you're powering your house with it?
a house, anything.
You want a car?
Direct current battery, DC.
Okay.
Like,
well, that's interesting.
It'll be a battery that never runs down.
Okay. Now, how would that relate to some of the other alternative fuels that are out there now that people are looking at that they call them renewable energy? This is renewable energy.
Non-polluting. It would be
okay.
It would be. The problem is I can't get anybody's attention with my hand waving.
Well, for the battery part, you're saying that if you took this out to someone that is interested in, there's people out there with solar panels and things like that.
Research done on tolerances, research done on all this stuff
mm-hmm.
to measure the tolerances of these things that need to be measured to build this battery, a practical battery. I haven't built a battery.
Okay. So the battery you have running right now, that you say that's enough to power your whole house and you've been using it, or it's something that's still on the drawing board?
I mean, in theory, you could power your whole house with it.
All right. Because as long as it's in the theory stage, it's still proverbially on the back of the cocktail napkin.
Well, I deal in theories. That's what I deal in.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So then basically out there, if you're out there in Blog Talk Radio land, 646-478-4847, and maybe we can get John a grant and get this thing from the cocktail napkin to what?
I'm telling you that I deal in theories and I don't deal in.
So you want someone else to come along and create an application for this?
Well,
you need someone to come along and take it to the next level for you, because otherwise, if it stays a theory,
next level, that's it. That's
yeah,
it's on my website. All the talk is done on it.
I'm looking at your website now. This is the paper was put up there about a year ago.
Yes, sir.
And has it gotten much play in the physics community? Have you been getting around on the listservs and dropping this on
I've
the
some responses on it, but
mm-hmm.
not as much as I'd like.
What do you know about tachyon energy? That's the one I keep hearing about. This tachyon energy, because it says basically there's a variable speed of light. And that gravity's not uniform.
Tachyons are devices that slow down when you give them energy.
Okay.
They start off at very high speed, and then they slow down as you give them energy. I actually did some work on tachyons.
Mm. Sounds like a conversation with my mom. But okay. She slows down if I give her energy. So it was big in the acupuncture community, this tachyon energy, and they came up with a water with it. That supposedly was going to help your body repair better, things like that. So with this zero-point energy, were you looking at applications that are more more general, more like, for as you were saying, like more for alternative fuels or more for things that are specifically for health and healing? You don't really care.
I was trying to come up with a better battery, something that could power a car, power a house,
okay.
power a... Something that would power DC, AA batteries, C batteries, D cells, watch batteries, any kind of batteries, and never run down.
And you can't talk to the guys at Duracell and EverReady and say, "Hey guys, I've got the next best thing." They wouldn't listen to you. I like the idea part. The idea stage is great, but this is like, okay, now I got to sell it to the people that I'm basically competing with to design it, or I got to find someone that's going to build me a better mousetrap. How do you think you're going to go about, if you've got a sound theory and it checks out and all those things are there on paper, it should work. How do you get it from the drawing board, to up the flagpole? Because, we're trying to do that with somatics, and that's hard enough. We got people with heartbeats and smiles, and we have people we can actually talk to. That we can get the feedback from dealing with human energy. You're dealing with something that's got an upside that can save us tremendous amounts of money and all the other things. Where would you go? Do you go to the universities, look for the engineering department? Do you go to
I was approaching NASA. I was approaching people like that.
Mm-hmm. The paper you said is published. Do you have it published in any of the journals, any of the scientific journals?
No,
physics
I don't.
Journals? Okay, because they're never going to take I mean, the only guy I think that ever got any attention is the guy that wrote the book The End of Time, Julian Barber. He came up with a whole physics formula about that that basically disproved a lot of the. Or he actually hooked in a lot of the stuff between quantum mechanics and Einstein's theory with one equation. Just math to make your eyes burn. Believe me, I read that book. You know, and I had to like every five minutes I had to take a bath. But the whole point of it is that as long as it's not done in a conventional manner, like you're coming in way, way, way from the fringe with a theory, and it hasn't been put through the paperwork and put through the process of getting accredited or validated by the peer review.
Papers that are published officially.
Okay, so but this particular paper on the battery hasn't gone through that yet.
No, I haven't officially on this one.
So that's probably the first step to get anyone to listen.
I was approached by people who wanted to publish my work.
Hmm. Well, let's reverse engineer a little bit here. You say you started in the 80s. You were a businessman, and then you got the physics bug.
Well, I was a business major, and I got interested in studying physics.
Okay. So then did you get interested in studying the how to go from where we were in our knowledge of quantum physics back then to where we are now, or were you more interested just in classical physics and maybe furthering that kind of stuff? Where did you get your first?
I was interested in studying physics, so I read everything I could on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And
basically you just started writing papers after that, huh?
Those days.
Okay. And so do you feel like you found a little circle for yourself, the people that are interested in these batteries that you can talk to about it, or are you kind of on an island with this theory? Does anyone
I'm
understand?
I'm on an island at this point, but...
Okay. So we got to get you some friends. We need to get some friends for John out here. Anyone out here that understands this this crazy free energy stuff? Because I tell you, there was a conference.
Let me explain to you how these batteries work.
Let's get the whole gizmo going here. So we're sitting there, and we got a regular battery. You know, the current flows around, the resistance comes back the other side. You got a positive and negative charge. How does your battery work?
Okay, it's basically the Casimir effect, except that the plates are angled.
Okay. I can hook him up with Slim.
So when you angle the plates, then it puts forces on the electrons that are uneven. So it drives a current from one end of the battery to the other end.
Okay.
And you do that, you put a wire, you run a wire metal strip from one end of the battery to the other end. And it holds the current from.
All right, so the currents contain more because the plates are angled than because of the charge. So it's
sort of like an arrowhead or a a funnel.
So is it a 45 degree angle? Does the angle matter?
I'm sorry.
Does the angle matter? Does it have to be symmetrical?
That's
or?
Where the research comes in.
Oh, okay.
That's where the research comes in, because the tolerances at the narrow end are going to be very tight. And that's what I already figured out a long time ago. And,
okay.
That's why probably you're going to need very, very thin strips for your metal wire that you run through there. And,
okay.
Because
this sounds very familiar to a guy I know that probably talks about as slow as you. He's from Colorado. His name is Slim Sperling, and he works with these things that he calls them harmonizers, and it works on this principle of a single coil that folds back on itself. So basically, it creates a zero-point energy field in a ring, and he's been able to use it for health and healing, and also for to invigorate environments like. Out in the desert, he was growing carrots as big as children out there with these harmonizers, and he makes these things as big as fire hydrants. They're huge. So I'm going to get you hooked up with Slim, because you guys can talk all night about this physics stuff and understand it. And he's someone who's been, he's got an engineering background, chemical engineering, other things. So you guys would get along really well. I'll make sure you get his number.
Well, I studied physics. I know the subject. Oh, my God. I studied and studied and...
Yeah, you guys can crack a couple of long necks and probably solve all the problems of humanity in about 2 hours. I mean, he's a very smart guy. So you know, and I think, like I said, he's a guy that can take your stuff, and especially the way this battery is designed, where there actually matters what the angle of the plates are, because that's the way he discovered his application was working with these copper coils to create a ring that inside that ring would be a field, and then wherever he focused that field, there would be a coherent flow of energy, and he made them into these like spirally things. He works with the cubic and a lot of the sacred geometry kind of things. You guys would get along great.
For outdoor applications, like something that would power your house, you might want to go with a spiral application, something that would.
His whole house is wired up with these crazy gizmos.
There's a spirals.
Mm-hmm. And they talk about making friends. He's got a band of gypsies out there, all these closet physicists like you guys, that are doing things that I don't even. The black helicopters are landing on their front lawns half the time because they're clearing out the stratosphere over their houses. A couple of the DVDs I saw that when they have these little meetings as they apply things and they share knowledge and. The amount of creativity that's out there that's untapped by the population is staggering. I mean, these guys are smart, but because they're not affiliated with, you know, the powers that be, they don't get an audience. And Slim's been able to kind of network a lot of them together. So I'll definitely get you in touch with him because I think he's the guy that can get you rolling here on this thing. Get that battery, out there in the stores because it's.
I did want to talk a little bit about my theory of quantum theory. If you're interested in it.
Yeah, we got okay. Now, this is something that's near and dear to my heart.
Too long.
No, we got time. We got time because this quantum thing gets me really aggravated. We got about 15 minutes. Did you roll out to see the What the Bleep movies a couple of years ago? What the Bleep Do We Know? All about quantum physics.
No.
Did you ever catch those? It's called What the Bleep Do We Know? It's a couple of movies that they did on quantum physics. A lot of it was on the science religion front. But so you did see it. Okay. You did see it?
Didn't see that.
Didn't see it. Okay. What they did was is that they took the very kind of, you know, classic nomenclature about quantum physics, you know, Planck's constant, all the basic stuff, and they applied it to consciousness. And what they were trying to say, this is something that maybe you've seen, like the book The Secret, and all of the people that followed around like a bunch of lemmings, and they all think they could create their own reality because someone said quantum, the word quantum. And I tell you, there is quantum plumbing. There is quantum, there's probably a quantum deli here in town. Everything becomes quantum. All quantum means, as far as I know, is a discrete measure. It just goes, bip, bip, it's a discrete measure.
It's a packet of energy, a packet of something.
Yeah, okay, now give me the hard, really just, you know, stone cold physics of this.
A light is a quantum of
okay.
light energy.
Okay, so all I know is kinetic and potential energy from you know classic physics. That's all I want. That's all I know in my head.
Well,
the quantum stuff sails over into the outfield and all the runners score. So if I'm going to think in terms of quantum, I'm thinking that something happens in a very short period of time in a very small space. That's the first thing I have to know. Right.
Right.
Okay, because you're dealing with things that are happening at subatomic levels.
Quantum
right?
came along by a guy named Max Planck.
Right. Planck's constant.
Max Planck, whatever you want to call his name.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that really got quantum going.
Yeah, well, I mean, you get past electromagnetic stuff, you get past all the Faraday stuff, you even get past the Einstein stuff, and I'm still sitting here going, how come these people think that if they just think positive thoughts, that the quantum fairies are going to come and organize around them. See, zero-point energy is another one of these emergent phenomena. No one can explain where it came from because, like you said, the original theory was space was empty. Now we realize space is a plenum. It's full of energy, and there's things we can do to organize.
Zero-point energy came out of the quantum theory.
Right, exactly. With them, they've applied it to consciousness now. And, you know, you've got to see Deepak Chopra talking about quantum healing all the time. And all the things that relate to the brain, right?
Yeah.
So how do you, as a, that's a Texas, yeah. How do you reconcile
sure about that? That applying it to the brain. I have a theory of the brain on my website. If you
oh okay,
the brain
well,
doesn't matter.
We can take a detour. I'm just saying, how do you, as someone who studied the you know, nuts and bolts of this, how do you tolerate the smurfiness of the quantum word? It shows up everywhere. I'm surprised you know, McDonald's doesn't have quantum sauce.
It's a little bit overused.
A little bit, yeah. Quantum car wash,
I
get it all going on.
I get tired of these TV shows named the quantum this and quantum that. They got nothing whatsoever to do with that.
So how do you clean up that misconception? Because if you're saying it's 180 degrees from what reality is, everyone's buying the hype, and then you've got something that can actually help people with this battery that applies the quantum, you know, principles. How do you get people to understand that they've been told basically a fairy tale about this stuff? You got to show them in what way, because I just see them going on and on and on with this. Every weekend there's another quantum yoga, quantum something going, quantum bowling's going on probably right now.
Of course, you live in New York City, right?
Just north of it. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty far removed from that.
Well, it, you know.
So I don't see. I'm not as exposed to it as you are on a daily basis.
What part of Texas are you in?
Near Austin.
Oh, okay. Good music down there. Okay.
Yeah.
But not a lot of quantum discussions going on at the corner.
It's called Bastrop, Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Out there with that to me would be tumbleweed area. I would be lost and afraid.
yeah, it's kind of it's southeast of Austin, actually.
Okay, we'll do an exchange. I'll go down there for 2 days, and I could stick you in the middle of New York City for a couple hours, and you can.
All right.
We'll see who comes out alive.
Let me just run you real quick by my quantum theory.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, all of reality are waves.
Good.
We actualize reality as particles as we observe it. To actualize is to observe our reality. Actualize means observe.
Okay.
As we enter one room, it is waves. It becomes particle-like as we instantaneously observe it. In this way, reality is part particle-like, part particle-like, part wave-like, as described by quantum theory.
Mm-hmm.
So quantum theory becomes finally understandable by us.
So that's exactly what the bleep says. The bleep says it's waves until we look at it, then it becomes particles when we look at it.
Huh?
That's exactly what they say in the beginning of the bleep, is that everything is waves, and then when we put our attention on it, the observer effect takes over, we collapse the wave, and we get what we call form, or the particle version of that wave.
Right.
Okay, good.
That's right.
So far you haven't disagreed
with
the woos.
I believe.
Okay, yeah.
I actually came up with that independently, but it doesn't surprise me that it's the same as what the textbooks are saying.
Mm-hmm. And if you really want to get nutty, you could get to, you know, some of the stuff that we learned a couple of years ago by a guy by the name of Irving Dardick, that his whole book is called Making Waves. It's all about the waves, and that there are no real particles. He calls them wavicles or something like that, where it's just wavicles
yeah.
That are basically they're just clustered together at the peak of a wave, and they look like a particle. So you can get really nutty, but. We have our other host is here now. Let's see, we can do some justice to this whole discussion here. This is Dr. Jeb Thurman, and hook it up with John Harms. If you could give him the 25 word or less version of Irv's version of particles, like why he thinks there's no such thing as particles.
Well, I think you just did it. It's just that Irv talks about the superwave theory, which is basically the fractal is a fractal model that looks at waves stacking on one another, and when you get waves waving within waves and you get a cluster of those peaks all at the same place, that's where you get a particle. And that's what he talks about, that in quantum theory they're always, well, it's a particle, no, it's a wave, well, it's a particle, it acts like a wave. And he says it's all bullshit,
and then you actualize it,
right? And he says
it becomes it takes on position and location.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he has a whole thing of, you know, non-locality and that
non-locality,
basically
when
it all becomes a waveform, that it explains all these things that are contradictory in the particle theory that they've been particle theory around like an anchor, But the reality is it's all just waves, waving within waves, and once you let go of the particle, then all these sort of contradictions explain themselves.
Do you use the word actualize?
I don't recall.
Well, we'll send his papers because he gets pretty technical too, and he's got people working on.
I use it synonymously with the word observe.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Well, believe me, you guys
understand
would
understand the word observe, then you understand actualize.
Hmm. Okay. So based on what you're saying here, as far as that. That really gets close to talking about consciousness now, which we're not getting too far from the bleep here. And your stuff doesn't sound like it's too far from it either. So this battery here that you're talking about that has these angle plates, it doesn't have a brain, it doesn't have a thought in its head, you know. How does it use the same energy? Just because of the structure?
It's electrical energy.
Okay, so then the flow's going to follow that law.
It's driven by the vacuum. It's driven by zero point energy. Entirely.
Okay, so this is very, like, now we're hooking together some, boy, talk about a poker game. We get you, we get Slim, we get Irv, and a lot of beer, and maybe some bleeps, and then you can figure this thing out. Because what I'm getting totally here is that in order to take something that appears to be invisible, but is everywhere, and is non-locally distributed, and has a capacity to take form just because of physical changes in the your thing, the electrical flow. Are we really just plain stubborn or dumb to not try and use this stuff, and we keep using the same old stuff?
Well, zero point energy is there,
right?
And it's
and we haven't used it,
so we'd be foolish not to use it.
So you think it's basically the if we're playing this game right.
The Casimir effect proves it's there. That's the thing about the Casimir effect.
But that's been like 50, 60 years. We haven't been able to figure out how to use it.
Zero point energy exists.
So now we're sitting here now with gas at $4 a gallon and all these things going on. Everyone's talking about wind energy and things like that. You know, would you say out of all the alternative forms, biodiesel, all these other forms, solar, that tapping into this would be the biggest thing?
Tapping into this is the best deal going.
So this would trump all of those guys?
This would top all of those guys because it's a battery that never runs down. It's just like plugging in a GM impact.
So it would be cost efficient. It would be more of a replenable
like
energy than the other ones.
Driving a GM impact that never needs to be recharged.
And it doesn't do any harm to the environment.
Doesn't do any harm to the environment. You just drive it around and you drive it around and that's it.
Wow. All right. Well, you know, I gotta admit,
you can use this for trains. You can use it for planes. You can use it for helicopters. Use it for anything you can think of that runs with.
I think the black helicopters are coming any minute.
Exactly. Wherever you are, there in Texas, I think I could pull the shade down. We gotta get a hold of. No, the guy to get a hold of down there is Kinky Friedman. He ran for governor last year in Texas.
Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah, he'd be into you because he's into Willie and the biodiesel. And, I mean, think about what was going on down there with Katrina, you know, with everything in the aftermath that then happened over in Houston, too, is that, you know, the effects of all the other forms of energy. I mean, where does someone like you, just to wrap this up because we're going to start closing it down here in a minute, where does someone like you sit and watch all the discussion on things like global warming and climate change, knowing that the forms of energy that we're using are totally toxic and have a pretty harmful effect on the environment? When you see things like that happening...
I just think we need to pour some money into this kind of research.
Well, you got to get their attention. I mean, but finally, after what, about 5 years, President Bush finally said, you know what, we need alternative forms of energy other than oil. This is a guy that's been in oil his whole life. He's finally got religion for some other forms of energy. And it just seems like there's a phony economic layer that you have to get through to show them it's going to make money before you can demonstrate it. You know, with something physical, you have to show them on paper it's going to work so that they'll give them money for it. Because this could change, you know, the space exploration, transportation. If we could save that much,
everything.
Yeah, okay. So you got a hot idea there. I mean, Einstein level, Nobel Prize level, and yet it's sitting on the kitchen table on the cocktail napkin.
Actually, you could actually use this idea as a rocket ship and get into space if you wanted to get technical about it.
Well, I'll tell you what. When that happens, I'll ride shotgun and you can steer. All right. Because I don't understand why these ideas don't get picked up.
It worked in a similar way.
I'm waiting for the transponder so I can pay my school loan and go back in time. So, all right, well, I'm going to get you hooked up with Slim and maybe even Irv and get see if we can get this thing advanced, because Irv's one phone call away from Al Gore, as far as we know.
All right.
And, get you guys, talking some smack here, because I don't want to see an idea like that, sit on your kitchen table there in Texas when, where we got Con Ed over here, driving a new rectum in us every other day with the way they run the place. We get brownouts here every summer, so we're sick of them. We want what you got. So, all right, well, if anyone missed this scintillating discussion, it's johnkharms.com. Is the K in there? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Let me see. The K's in his website?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, johnkharms.com, Future Science Today. And you guys can hop on there, and like I said, the thing is to get this discussion going both directions. Hopefully maybe this time we can help you, and maybe you can join us in 6 months.
I appreciate you guys doing this.
Yeah, I think you. I mean, the discussion you have with Slim alone, would I would want to hear that on public radio in 5 minutes, because we got to get him back in Harrison. We get him back on with those guys. After he meets up with them, maybe these guys can distill what they got and come back on the show and talk to them.
Get Irv and Slim and I was going to think of what's his name, the heart math guy. Maybe not him, Doc.
Nah.
Not him. Get Slim and Irv together with John and then have him on the show. That would be unbelievable.
Yeah, well, we'll get them hooked up offline, and if they want to come on and do a panel deal and tell us what they found out from the discussions, I'd be happy to get them on, because people are ready for this. It's like, Obama's talking about green energy and green jobs and stuff like that, but, building wind farms out there. They said that the Midwest is the Saudi Arabia of wind energy. But if you've got something that never dies, the battery never runs out of energy, and it actually doesn't have any environmental...
I want to tell you how it was designed, so it tells you a little bit more about it.
Yeah, okay. Anyone wants that information, go up to John's site, and you can click on Read the Paper, and we'll get you hooked up with those people.
Read the paper and look at it, decide for yourself.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll get you the information that we said, and hopefully we'll get you back on, couple of months, and we'll have some progress to report.
That's great.
Yeah. All right, John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
okay.
John.
See you, John.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye-bye now.
I got no voice. I got nothing.
You sound good there, honey.
Yeah. You need a little battery.
You're telling me. I actually could have used one of those for my thermometer because the battery's dead.
Mm-hmm. And we got a guitar solo coming up here. Hang on.
Go ahead. Oh.
it's Texas. Come on. We got a little Texas here.
Yeah.
Go ahead and play anything that you want.
Oh, yeah. That was... I get frustrated with these guys, these know-it-all physicist types. Explain it to me. I'm quantum to me is how I pay my bills. It just happens,
Are you frustrated with John or frustrated with these other guys?
Well, the fact that he's sitting there with such an idea that has all these ups. I mean, you can't get more upside than what he was talking about.
But
you can't get anyone to listen to him.
Yeah. So he's shopping it around. People are. But the thing is,
I don't think he is.
Where do you start? Like I said, where do you start? When you have an idea that if you're Einstein and you're a freaking patent clerk, and you're going, I want this big paper here, see? And it's like you're coming in from outside the establishment. So I ask him, did you get it published in the journals? It's like you haven't gotten your ticket punched. As far as the way people pay attention to these things. I mean, it's look at Irv. Irv's got the ear of almost every important person in the world, and he's still out there in the Batcave. And Slim, forget it. Slim is Slim's living between the quantum foam out there in the middle of Denver somewhere. You know, where he has to go into some kind of hyperspace at night to keep the mother ship okay, you know? And his friends, Slim's friends, that one guy that wrote that love potion number 10, whatever the heck it is, that stuff that grows hair on your head. I mean, it's, I can't even, he's got his house powered by this, I don't even know what it is, it's a turbine thing. Everyone he knows, everyone that Slim knows, is more wacky than Slim. Remote viewers, all kinds of crazy people. I just, wow. And,
what's
you know, that's what
name,
I'm saying.
Slim?
Slim Sperling.
Yeah, that's what I thought, okay.
Yeah. Oh, with the copper rings and all that.
With
I got them right
rings.
Here.
Yeah.
Got my ring right here. You know, and, you know, it's like, you know, and I remember being outside in a lightning storm, one of these suckers, and you put your hand inside the ring, and this blue field comes up out of nowhere, and Slim goes, you won't get your hand out of there. It's going to go into a wormhole. You know, he's got that long beard. You know, like it was Captain Neptune with a cowboy hat. I went, oh, geez, okay. And my hand was tingling like, it was like I did like, you know, what the heck is that stuff when you put the hand in the wax?
Paraffin.
Yeah,
the paraffin. Yeah. It was like that. That's what it felt like for like an hour. It was like pulsing. And the acupuncture people are very interested in the tachyon energy. They're interested in that, putting it into the needles and also into the water. I just, you know, I get frustrated because I just went back for that conference, the Chaos Conference, and again, these guys sitting there with all these great ideas. No one wants to listen. And it can't just be about the money. We got to find this clip of Cheney today. Did you see it this afternoon, Jim?
No.
It's the fifth anniversary of...
Right, he's out fishing.
Yeah, he's out fishing of some Saudi's boat.
Yeah,
but it's the comment he made about the opinion of the country about the war that blew me away. It just blew me away that after everything that's happened that he's able to do that. Let me see if I can find it here.
Yeah, I got the temperature update. I'm up to 100.8 now.
Well, that's not a temperature.
It's a temperature because I feel like crap.
Well, you've been feeling like crap since Saturday.
Yeah, but this is worse. I'm hot and cold. I had ice on my feet, and I was still hot. Ugh.
So I'm sending Allison Godfrey an email with a link to John Harms' site.
Oh, okay, cool. Let's see.
There
you go.
Sorry. Oh, man. I need to be in bed right now, and I need someone to bring me tea.
Well, that's not going to happen.
No.
So.
No, not.
Well, I'm still looking.
Hey, did you guys see Obama's speech there yesterday?
Oh, yesterday, the race speech, yeah. Yeah, actually, I wrote about a little one on the blog Soma yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but, you know, that it was a classic ontoism. The guy that the priest guy was it was funny because, and this happens a lot, like I wrote about it in the essay, if I believe that, you know, that the world is triangular, you know, and you're hanging out when I'm giving a talk about it, does that mean you have to believe it? I mean, it's just like you go to a movie, do you believe everything that the movie says? Like if you go to support a movie that's about apartheid or a movie that's about, you know, prejudice, does it mean you believe those things? And that whole vote where your feet is when it comes to the presidential politics, that's why almost every week now, I mean, Hillary had to get rid of Farrar last week. You know, everyone has to go over the side of the boat.
Bless you.
Thank you.
You know, don't pass away before the show's over, okay?
Can I pass away after?
Right after, yeah.
Well, we have a meeting after. I can't.
Slump right after. Well, they don't care.
All right. While you're looking for that.
Yeah, I am looking for that.
Everyone should go to somaspace.org, go to the bottom, and click on our Join Naked Soma Nation.
That's right.
And join our Naked Soma Nation. It's like MySpace, but better, because we're actually intelligent and we're not looking to get laid. Well, at least not all of us.
There you go. Perfect.
At least not all by our by our listeners.
There's a ringing endorsement right there.
That's right. A little more intelligent than MySpace.
Yeah, we put that Ning community, actually, you went on last night, that has all the people that run one of these sites.
Yeah.
It's a pretty well-knit community, so it's It's an upgrade. I mean, someone had to come out with something better than MySpace. They finally did. We were trying to do this a year ago, you know, with the Jakester, and it wasn't going to happen. It was, you know, we were like pushing a rope.
Right. Well, the nice thing is I read that woman's page, and she said she had paid, what, $15,000 to get something like this, and then a year later, there it is for free. She was pissed.
Yeah, she did what we wanted to do, and there you go.
And it's a good thing we didn't. Sometimes it pays to be eco.
Well, sometimes it pays to be Poe.
Yeah, that too. A Poe eco.
Poe eco, yeah.
What a fever.
You know, like you're never going to have a fever again.
Oh, I would like to not, but...
It's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Health tip of the week. Let the fever run.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I had an argument with my mother about that one time. It was fierce. She was freaking out. I'm like, I don't have 105 temperature. Just let it do what it's got to do. Well, she's on toe, so.
Well, hitting the turn here at 9:51 here in the evening. We're going to get any calls, any rub-up from the big physics discussion. But, God. Bush cites success. Says the war was worth it.
Oh, well, I'm glad he thinks so. Stupid Philo.
I didn't see that before. That's pretty funny. In a sad kind of sick way. But I wanted to go over a couple things, you know, that we're going to be looking at you know, over the next 2 or 3 days. Like tonight, being the last night of the winter, we're sitting here in Otto Week. And then tomorrow, the spring emerges, right?
Right.
So we're going to be shifting from an exo season to a philo season, which is a huge shift. And, you know, if you don't know what that means, listen to the first half of this show and then go back and listen to the show that we had the women on from the paranormal, and you'll know the difference.
That's right. So am I going to get more whiny and stuff tomorrow? Because I'm pretty whiny.
Everything is going to come to a cluster. I mean, like that definition that that Jeff gave before about the waves. Basically, we're going to be sitting on a bed of spikes in about 3 days because tonight's the last night of the winter. We change domains tomorrow for the next 3 months, right? And then the next day, full moon.
Right.
Okay, and then the next day, we're in eco week of that same lunar cycle.
Yeah.
So we hit all four domains in 3 days, and then, of course, the fourth day, you think we get a break? No. It's Easter, eat some sugar, and be around your relatives. Yeah. So if you think you're getting a break there, forget it. So it's we're at the point now where you really just got to kind of hang on. You just got to almost give yourself a break and say, each one of these days, the next couple of days, there's sort of a somatic agenda, if you will, and to just ride it through. So for tomorrow, you know, it being the seasonal change, you've got to, you know, if this is kind of, if you're up for it, be around the people in your inner circle because that it's going to be going philo on you, and it's a stark shift from where we were all week and in an outdoor week where you're kind of in yourself and in your own belief system. All of a sudden, you got to go back to being interpersonal. If you feel like you're riding a little low, like Professor Val, then you remove yourself from all human contact tomorrow because everyone that has a voice will annoy you.
That's not a problem. Everyone's staying away from me because they don't want to catch this.
Yeah, the catching thing. Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, my father came down and said he was starting to feel not so good, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, this Cheney thing is not... I don't think it's on the air yet, but it's pretty bad. So we'll get to it next time, I guess, or we'll try and talk. But remind me next week, because this is so annoying. I almost want to see if we can find that next 5 minutes. So that's kind of like that. Just to give you guys a little bit of the somascopes, that's really where I'm going to leave it as far as, like, those 4 days, and then we get into next week where we're back on an eco week, and we can talk about, you know, the last week of the somatic winter is next week, and then we start going into the spring. But the thing is that you got to remember that you need to be able to recognize all four of the domains in terms of the way that the environment shifts around you, because that's sort of the outer circle of the domains, and then the inner circle, the part in you, is to just shift your attention. So if you know tomorrow I got to shift from impersonal structural stuff that's exo and, you know, that's the seasonal things. The last 3 months I've been you know, cleaning my garage or whatever. Now I got to shift to people, and then the next day I got to go back to my ideas about that, and then the next day I got to go into my emotions. So it's a real, you're going to get all four gears going. So if you haven't been, you know, used to looking at the domains and you're just kind of a leaf in the wind, you know, I would say assume the crash position because it's going to be a bumpy couple of days, the next 2 or 3 days. So, all right, we will toss it over to Dr. Jeb and his tip of the week if we can get the little catchphrase thing going here. Val, you got any shot at it?
I'm looking for the freaking box on here. Hold on. Yeah, I think
just,
I might.
I can roll into it.
No, wait a minute. We have time. Hold on. It's right here we go. I got it. Wow! I feel good.
Tonight's tip of the week is a little bit more like a rant of the week. It'll be quick. But this whole acid-alkaline thing really drives me berserk because people out there selling you stuff, telling you that, you know, you got to be alkaline, you got to be alkaline, you got to be alkaline, and the body wants to be alkaline. Well, the news for us all is that our body buffers itself through our respiration and our kidneys. So if you're eating, you know, nothing but cheeseburgers and your body's going to get ill, it's going to get all acid, your body will buffer it out as long as you're taking in plenty of minerals, and you'll be, you know, about, I don't know, 735 to 745. That's where your blood wants to be. But I know it's getting a little technical, but this whole idea that we're always trying to control stuff, but then people are manipulating these things that nobody knows anything about, like the whole fear-mongering that, you know, that's going on about, that goes into politics. They do it with your health. And it's like, you know, there are certain things that will turn your body a little more acid and certain things that will turn your body a little more alkaline, but in the innate wisdom of the body, once again, there's been a fudge factor there that the body had already written into the program an ability to buffer these things out. Basically, you need to eat a balanced diet and enjoy your food, and then there's a whole weight loss and then, you know, other issues there. But in terms of this whole alkaline and acid thing, it's really, you know, it's not all it's cracked up to be. So we can talk more about that another time. I just had to get that off my chest. So, there you go.
My nutritionist is all about that.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, everything he's saying is really kind of an application of things we've been talking about, you know, all hour, is that we're at that point where you got to kind of get your own evidence and let the feedback be your guide here a little bit. And I just think it's, you know, to try to trust the government or any of these other people to give you the right answers, I mean, it just seems like they're just hell-bent on BSing us to death.
Well, you got to use your common sense. I mean, it's for all these things. It's like,
who has common sense?
Yeah. I mean, look at the people. Yeah, exactly. Well, I did find this on Countdown. Let's see. It's on again at 10 o'clock Eastern if you're tuning into it. But a lengthy segment today with the banner, Obama slams Iraq war in major speech. So anyway, Oberman's ranting on in the background here, but you could catch it on. It's on tonight's show. The line with Cheney was saying so to the people that are basically not supporting the war anymore. He doesn't really care what we say, and that's what I get over and over again. Is this? There's the arrogance, there's the ignorance, and then there's the sort of the indifference that goes on in between, and that's what we're trying to get past. So
He's like a James Bond supervillain to me.
He really thrives on it. He's got that down. He's the whole thing. So you got to. I mean, I'm definitely going to have it. You know, we'll have it on the blog as soon as I find it. I'll put that up there because it's such an example of an XO just not even addressing the emotions of you know, 4,000 people that died on our side and millions on the other. So it's just great. I mean, if you could just get past the inhumanity of it, the guy hasn't shown one sign of sentiment at all the whole time. He just doesn't care.
So how is that different? Well, this is maybe a time for another. I'd like to see you contrast Barack Obama and Dick Cheney in two.
Yeah,
well,
Barack's got other signatures. Barack's more open soma. This guy's just basically locked in the X zone. That's all he cares about. So
okay, that's so. Answering my question.
Yeah. All right, Val, you got a quote for us instead of
Yeah.
Stay away, all you sapes, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I got to give a shout out to Simeon, who's listening.
That's right.
Hello,
that's
darling.
The Simeon.
Our eco pal. Okay, here's my quote.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really cares if you're miserable, so you might as well be happy. And that's for me because I feel sorry for myself.
Mm. All right, then.
There you go.
All right. I don't know who's on next week.
It's Sassy, I think.
Oh, Sassy. Oh, return favor. Okay. All right. So until then, for everyone here at Soma Central, here at Naked Soma, just travel light and beware the XO. And until then... Wayne Devane.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Travel light.